We sure do live in an exciting time, a very challenging time, I believe. I really do believe that there's across the board through history, the time frame that Christians have dwelt on the earth have always been challenging. So I'm not going to discount the challenges that Christians in the past in history have had, but at the same time, I really do believe and I'm praying and listening to the Lord as far as directions that God is seeing for us to go as even a small church here in Lincoln in a small town, but having a large impact on culture, community, in that which we live. And I believe that's across the board everywhere, that churches, God followers, disciples of Jesus are having an impact on culture and community wherever they exist. That's what we're called to do, continue to do until the Lord returns. So I'm feeling in a sense that this is the attitude of those in the spirit of the church that God's directing God's people right here and now. I'm paying attention to that which is being heard by pastors, that which we are, the message that's being conveyed is close to the same. There's a funny reason why, don't you think? I'm kind of being a little silly. It's because we follow after the same, listen to the same Holy Spirit. There's God the Holy Spirit's God the Holy Spirit wherever. So it's really just a matter of us tuning in and listening to what He's speaking. And so today even it's extremely relative to things that are going on in our society right now, this message that I feel like the Lord's really given me. So I want us to first do something, and I'm going to ask you to kind of place yourself in a time frame that's a little different than what we live now. But there's a specific reason and purpose for it so that we can actually be relevant in the time frame in which God's placed us. So I want you to go back right around 2,000 years into the time of Jesus. And let's just go back. And you've heard about this teacher, Jesus, that was speaking truth and speaking wonderful things as a Jew. And you've heard of these teachings. You've heard that he was doing amazing things. So you round up your family as a young man. And yes, let's go there, because as a young man, that's what you did. You rounded up your family and you said, let's go and let's listen. So wife, children, we are all a part of that. So even as you sit in this room, you're a part of this group. And you're going and you're sitting on a hillside and you're sitting there for a long time frame listening to the teachings of Jesus, listening to this, what is called a sermon that he's speaking and he's preaching. And you hear these wonderful things and they're amazing you, and they're and the sirens are going off and everything and the trains are going by. And all this stuff, the fish are jumping in the water, and you're hearing all this wonderful teaching that's taking you to another level, taking you to some spiritual insights and some depths within your own soul that you're starting to search, and you're looking for your purpose, and you're seeing something that's resonating within you to say, I want to follow that. I desire everything within me to follow what he's saying and to do what he's telling me to do. And so as you come to that resignation, then that conclusion that I want to follow everything that this Jesus is teaching me, it's done and it's over. And therefore now you gather up your family and you're heading back to your village, back to your home. And as you're walking to your home with your family, your wife and your children, you run across this, it's almost a parade, but it's a set of Roman soldiers coming through. And so therefore you stop. You stop because Roman soldiers have rule in this territory which you live. So you stop and you let them pass. And you hold your children. And, you know, on the way back, you've picked up some supplies for home. You have them in your hands. You've got your pack, and you're carrying them. And you've got your children there, and you just stop, and you wait patiently for the Roman soldiers to pass by. And as the Roman soldiers are almost all the way past by, one of them on the peripheral stops and looks at you. He says, hey, get over here. Get over here. And so you, of course, you obey, because that's Roman rule, Roman law. He says, carry my pack. And you're like, oh. So what do you have to do? What do? He says, carry my pack. Right now, carry my pack. You have to set your stuff down. Say, honey, it's going to be okay. I'll see you at home. Honey, it's going to be all right. Just take the kids home. Here, kids, gather up all this stuff. I got to carry this man's pack. And so you obey. You concede to say, okay, because he's a Roman soldier. Carry my pack. So now you have to carry his pack. You know how far you have to carry his pack? By Roman rule, you have to carry his pack 1,520 paces. That's exactly, it's exactly to the T, you have to carry it that many paces. So you're walking and you're carrying, and it's approximately a mile. And this whole time you're carrying this pack, and he's of course, he says, now start counting. So you're starting to count, 300, 800. Pretty soon you start losing count because you start thinking of these words that are ringing true. It's like it's so relevant to what this Jesus said. This Jesus said, if somebody compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And you're just thinking, but my family is left to take care of themselves now. If somebody compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That's Roman law. So you start thinking to yourself, that means I'm going to be 2 miles away, and I have to walk all the way back, 2 whole miles. So that means I'm going to have to walk 4 miles out of my way, walking, carrying this stranger's pack, because it's the law. It's the rule. Okay, so you resolve to do it. You say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I said I want to follow the teachings of this Jesus. I want to follow it to the T, so I'm going to do it. But here's what's happened that's really strange that happens along the way that so you know that Jesus was very intentional about his teaching. He did not just say things that just would try to make you feel good. They're very intentional about bringing glory to God. And so here's what happens. And this is interesting. This scenario played out. This scenario played out and it happened right before your eyes. You conceded to obey Jesus' teaching. You agreed to it, and now you were put to the test of it. And you had to carry now this man's pack an extra mile. But here's what happens at 1,520 paces. Approximately there, the Roman soldier now looks at you and says, hey, what are you doing? Drop the pack. And you say, no, I'm going to carry you an extra mile. I want you to know something. Here's, it's also part of Roman rule, Roman law. Roman law. That if that Roman soldier forces you to carry it one extra pace, he now is subject to punishment from his authority figure. Do you guys understand that? Now you just flipped the script. You just flipped the script, didn't you? By obeying Jesus. Jesus said, go an extra mile, and he was intentionally flipping the script. Huh. So now you're carrying it 1,521 and 2. Guess who's getting a little nervous now? That Roman soldier. He's like, I need you to drop the pack right now before my boss, the centurion, he sees what you're doing. I need you to drop it right now. I said, no, I'm going to carry it an extra mile. I will carry it an extra mile for you. Well, and within approximately 30, 40 paces, the centurion notices this little discourse that's going on. And he comes back and he says, hey, what's happening here? What's going on? Well, I compelled him to carry it 1 mile, and he did it, but now he's carrying it another mile. I'm really not forcing him to do it. It's really not me doing it. Because he knows the punishment is severe to disobey Caesar's rule. He knows it. I'm not doing it. I'm not forcing him to do it. He's doing it all on his own. So now this centurion, now he's faced with a challenge. He's caught in the middle of this thing too. What do I do? What does he do? And so he asks you, the one that's carrying, by what authority are you carrying this pack? Because Caesar says you could carry it 1 mile and 1 mile only. That's Roman rule. What are you doing? Are you disregarding and disobeying Caesar's word? And you boldly, with courage and with compassion in your heart, say, I'm obeying the one who has even authority over Caesar. And his name is Jesus. And he compelled me that when I saw you and you told me to carry it 1 mile, he compelled me to carry it 2. I answer to a higher authority. Wow. Flipping the script by obeying the words of Jesus. Did you guys just catch that? So simple of a little phrase. If somebody compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Jesus knew what he was saying. He knew that he was crossing a political boundary, a governmental rule, with compassion and love and mercy. Oh, that's so good. That's so good this morning, because here's what I want us to understand in our day, in our time, right here and now. And yeah, if you guys want to read it, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, if you want to look that up. What is Jesus compelling us today to live by, to go by, to make a difference, and to flip the script, if you will? What is he compelling us to do? There's a phrase that the Lord's, I haven't heard it because I've been wrestling with it all week long in my spirit, because, and I don't understand how it actually comes out in words that, but the wording is this, is God is compelling us to be extremely careful with our personal convictions that they don't conflict with the king's orders. Let me explain, and I want to kind of hit on that all week long, because I believe that's where there is division and conflict and misunderstanding that's going on amongst Christians in the church today, is we've placed ahead of, on top of, and even of more importance, of more value, my own personal convictions above the king's orders. Or even what the wording I'll use is kingdom convictions. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Because let's go back then to the Roman soldier. You guys are really quiet because I think you're really listening, right? Really listening. Amen. That's good. Let's go back there. What if you as, and I'm going to go back. Let's go back. Let's backtrack to you as a citizen of a Jewish nation, and Roman rule was a part of your that was involved. It's where what they said goes. Jesus didn't say only if go with them an extra mile only if it doesn't conflict with the leading that God, it happens on the Sabbath. Make sure it doesn't, only if it doesn't make you do something that God doesn't want you to do. He didn't say that anywhere in the whole Bible, actually. And that's one of the most ignorant arguments that we as Christians make. Do you guys understand that? And I say that with very much compassion of the ignorant argument, because it's one out of complete biblical ignorance. It's not something that God compels us to do. Say, only if Where does he say that in there? I haven't read it yet. I mean, I could probably insert it in a lot of places that I don't like what it actually says, only if, and it just doesn't work. So let me explain, and I think that there's somebody that's a really good example of this, Not only we're faced in a real challenging time, we are living in some really challenging times right now. I have heard the stories, I've seen the reports, I've talked to people that are out of a younger generation, if you want to call them and label them millennials, you can, but they're faced with this real difficult situation where they are being compelled to be so, they're driven, if you will, to be so authentic and genuine that their personal convictions become their God, to where it's, I cannot disregard and disobey my personal convictions or else I am actually disobeying my God. Do you understand? That's the message that seems to be being conveyed to them on a regular basis, and they're buying into this hook, line, and sinker to where I can't vote this way or that way because of my own personal convictions. I can't vote this. I can't do that. I can't agree with that because my own personal convictions won't allow me to do it. But do you see where the conflict comes into play? Is there's there's kingdom rule, God's kingdom rule that as is at play and that is more precedent in the situations at hand. Such as going back to that young man that was compelled to carry the bag an extra mile. Do you think that he agreed with Roman rule of law at that time? Absolutely not. They were unfair. They mistreated people of the land. It just was not fair. It wasn't right. It wasn't convenient. And I think that's where it comes down to a lot of our personal convictions come down to our own personal inconveniences. Or conveniences. Any amens on that one? Amen. Quiet ones. Let's make them quiet, okay? We don't want to get too real, right? Now I'm being silly. Come on. Let me give you an example of one that's really, really good. Jonah. Just go to Jonah. The book of Jonah is only 4 chapters long. It really only takes you literally 6 to 7 minutes to read it. In fact, you could read it in, if you have a nice little digital Bible, you could read it in 6 translations in probably about 20 minutes, and you'll get the big picture of it. It's really good, because here's what happens. And so I'm going to give you the front end and the back end of Jonah. Well, actually, I'll just go through really fast, because you kind of have to get the full story of what Jonah is going through. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Yes. That guy. His dad, the son of his dad. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going from Tarshish, so he paid the fare, and he went down onto it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he was running away. He was running away, and we've always said, well, he's running away from the presence of God. Well, what is he really running away from? And this is why I want to tie this in and relate it directly to what we're going through in our day. He was really running away from his own personal convictions. He put that ahead of God's direct order. His personal convictions were what? Let's go through it really fast. What's that? They were the enemy. They weren't deserving of even an opportunity of salvation. They weren't deserving of even a chance to repent and get right before God. They were evil doers. Even God says it. Hello? You could say that, the ISIS of the day. They were bad people. Absolutely. All that was at play there were a part of his, I believe, personal convictions. that caused him to say no to what God said. Ooh. Right? I'm saying ooh because I'd be one that have done that before. Hello? Not because, oh, stupid Jonah. No, stupid me. And so then he goes, of course, you guys know the meat of the story is, you know, he goes and there's a storm that comes along and he gets tossed off the ship because they cast lots. You know, they actually gambled, cast dice to see who it was, and they all landed on Jonah. Throw him overboard, they say. They didn't want to do that. In fact, it's funny when you read it, all the shipmates were like, God, forgive us for even taking this guy on board, and forgive us for his death, because it's going to happen. Because he's going over, and we're going to sail free. And sure enough, they threw him over. Whew, calm sea. They're like, wow. And they all, but here's what's really cool. This is a little side note of the story, is they all said yes to God. All that were on that ship. And let's not forget about them that are in the midst of this. Is they said, we will serve the God of Jonah. That's awesome too. That's awesome in the midst of this awesome story. That's cool. I don't know. There's so many neat things about the Bible. You ought to read it sometime. Yeah, it's good. So anyway, he gets swallowed by a fish, spit out on the sea because Jonah's heart repents and he calls out to God, say, please save me from this depth of this fish and I'm sorry, basically. So God says, okay, I'm going to spit you out on the sea of where I wanted you to go or on the shore of where I wanted you to go, but you're still going to have to do it. You're still going to have to go to Nineveh. So of course he goes to Nineveh and he goes to him and he just preaches, repent, 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 repent. And what do they all do? Repent! They all repent! Go figure. They all repent. Do you think that God, when he sends us, when he has a directive for you to do something kind, generous, extra mile-ish for somebody, it's because God knows right where that person's heart is, and he's using you as a tool, an instrument to get into that person, to bring the gospel to that person's heart, and you're that instrument and that tool that God's using, but you're too busy standing on your laurels. That was meant to be like, anyway, gosh, you guys. Or your principles, it's a matter of principle. Do you know what I hear when I hear that phrase? How many of you say that phrase, by the way? You're not going to tell me because I know. It's a matter of principle. It's a common phrase. Yeah, and it's one we use. What are we really saying there? My convictions of what is so much more important than you as a person. My principle is more valuable, more important than you as a person. That's really what we say when we say that. Because when we say it's a matter of principle, I'm having you thrown in jail for that. Well, it's a matter of principle. That's what it's a matter of. It's not a matter of people. It's a matter of principle. Ooh, that might be a little bit convicting if that's something you stand on regularly. I'm sorry. Because I really do like you. Whoever it is you are that has that stance, it's ask the Lord to do that. Really. Yes, brother.
You know what I find tougher today? Mm-hmm. I know under Roman law that man suffered penalty of death if you refuse.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a nation with a Declaration of Independence, and we have a nation that has a Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
I've been lulled in this kind of conviction that I have to deny myself those rights also.
Yeah.
Because I've been, you know, it's just a trap. I put Jesus first.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And say yes to Jesus first.
Amen. You guys hear what everybody heard what he said? Basically, in a nutshell, he's confirming what God is compelling him to do. Now, in that also, it's always going to be before him, Alfonso, to actually obey that which God compels him to do. That's even above and beyond our civil rights, our human rights, our rights as a country, and those things that God, that we could say, well, it's a matter of our civil rights. Well, no, it's a matter of people. It's a matter of people. And that's why I wanted to get to the end of Jonah, and I'm going to get to, this is so cool, because you guys, then you know about the story, part of the story where Jonah gets upset with God, because God actually does what he says he's, you know, he knows that God is going to actually have mercy on them. So he gets mad at God for having mercy, because he didn't, you know, just smite them and wipe them off the planet as they deserve to be. You guys catching all this? Okay, all right. Is it convicting you a little bit? Okay. It's all right. You got to know, I love it here. I love the salt mine. I love being a part of this wonderful, amazing church. Amen. Bless you. The stuff that the Lord compels me to share, and I got to tell you, this is a message that I felt, and I talked to Devin about it. I feel like this message is needs to be heard into the church as a whole. I know I'm not a mouthpiece to speak to the wide church, but I pray that God will bring a mouthpiece that will speak this to the whole church as a whole. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Yes?
What you're talking about is something that in the past year I had personally gone through. And the question that was posed to me by some of the Lord, because I'm going to think about myself, is what is your motivation behind your principles? Why? Mm. I have to look at that. It's pretty ugly. Because
amen.
A lot of it was not the love that Christ.
Amen. God. I hear you, and I've agreed with that, and I've also gone through those too, and those very convictions of aligning my, here's what I long for, because I don't want to discount personal convictions, because I believe that they're the things that keep us from doing things that we should not ought to do. You know, those are the things that keep us committed to our spouse and keep us committed to our jobs and doing the things there. It's the personal convictions on a daily basis that keep me in the straight and narrow. Hello? You guys get that? So I'm not saying discard personal convictions. I'm saying don't make sure that your personal, that's why I said it, the wording was be careful that your personal convictions align with the king's orders. Hello? You guys following with me on that? Okay, good, because I don't want to get anybody to say, it's like, well, I don't have to do anything now. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to obey my convictions at all. But here's what, I'm going to get back to Jonah, and it's at the end of chapter 4, and this is when there's a plant that came up and shaded Jonah as he was watching the city be saved, rescued, and getting angry. God said to Jonah, verse 9, Is it right for you to be angry about this plant? And in Jonah's response, yes, it's right for me to be angry even to death. Did you guys just hear what he say? It's a matter of principle. It's a matter of principle. This plant was supposed to shade me, and it was supposed to do what it was supposed to do, and it didn't. So yes, I'm angry, and I have a right to be angry. Dang it, I'm going to stick to my rights. Oh, God, just like, God is so merciful in dealing with even Jonah. I think of how merciful he is in dealing with us. And he says, but verse 10, he says this, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored for, nor which you caused it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. It was up and then it was down. It was here and then it was gone. And you're angry about this thing. And then verse 11, it says, and should I not pity Nineveh, a great city with more than 120,000 persons, people, souls, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? I even care about their animals. That's really cool, because what he's saying in that, and let's get this and get it really loud and clear. And, you know, as that message is being spoken, it's almost as though I don't know what policies and what things are going to happen in our government today. I don't know. None of us really do. All of us are a little bit nervous. We're a little bit excited, a little bit nervous too. We don't know. The thing that we do know to do as God followers is to make people prominent. Make people most important in everything we do. The policies that come into play, yes, we will have to regard, we will have to obey, and we'll have to be a part of, but we need to understand that the people are the most important thing, and let's not get angry because a policy doesn't agree with my personal convictions. Use it as an opportunity and a blessing to be able to be salt and light in the midst of a challenge and a trial that God has placed you perfectly in. And understand God's heart is for people. I have passion and compassion for 120,000 evildoers. Evil people. That's my heart. I do not just toss anybody away. That's my heart. Boy, that's really convicting because we live in a time frame where we just want to toss people to the wind, to and fro, because they're just not like us. And we, as salt and light, do not have that as our directive. Our directive is the King's directive, which is this. Let's go to it. Actually, before I finish, it's Romans chapter 14 is going to highlight this very, very principle at work in our own life. So even Paul wrote of it. Romans chapter 14, verse 14. Starting, I might want to read this from a different translation. I'm going to try anyway. I didn't like the message, but the Living Bible said it really neat. Listen to this. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, starting in verse 14. Going to verse 20. It says, I know, and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating, or I'll even word it, your personal convictions, don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Now let me go over to what the Message speaks of that very phrase. Listen to this. It says, where did it go now? Oh, here it is. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? That's what he says. Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soul poisoning. Yikes. That's what the Message says of that phrase there, that verse. Do you guys hear that? That's speaking very real. He's saying that very clearly, and very what I'm saying today is we must be extremely careful not to make such issue over things that are going to cause people to go to hell because I want to make my issue, my principle, my laurel, that which I'm standing on, which I'm not going to bend or budge, and I'm going to toss you out because you don't agree with my principles. Hello? And this was really big to them, really big to them, eating meat, the meat or unclean meat or not. That was a big deal to them. We have big deal issues in our culture today that we as Christians, we've got to be careful. Yes, we got to stand to our personal convictions, stand on them, be firm in them, but not to the point of sending people away, casting them off as to where they are not deserving of even life itself. Hello? Whoo! Man, that was a good message, brother. Preach it like that. I like that. I'm serious. That was really good stuff. That's good stuff that the church needs to hear as a whole. God's people need to hear as a whole. I know that it's such an easy thing to do on Facebook and stuff and social media, but man, may our messages be that of hope and that of luring people into the to the blessedness and the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to say you're so screwed up, you're a laughing stock. Here, let me show you something, how much of an idiot you are, and put it on Facebook. Here's how wrong you are. Come on. Come on, brothers and sisters. Come on. Amen. 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 And how deep is that darkness, is what Jesus said. Yeah, I really did have a different message for today in regards to Thanksgiving, but I think it's going to be good. I'll share it next week because I think that there's some things that I feel like the Lord wanting to speak very clearly, and I think it's going to actually segue into it as we finish this up today, because I'm going to finish up with the words that Jesus really spoke, and he spoke them actually in two different places that are pretty identical. That well, it's the same Jesus speaking the same words, but two different people recording it a little bit differently. Luke in chapter 6, and also Matthew at the end of chapter 5. It's a message that starting in verse 27 of Luke chapter 6. And yes, it was a part of the Sermon on the Mount, that part of that sermon that you heard as a young man who was wanting to follow this teacher back in Jesus' day. He says this, he says, but I say to you who hear, that very phrase alone speaks something very clearly and very precisely. I say to you who are longing to learn, wanting to grow, longing to listen, you who have open ears, and you say, you have, I say to you who have resolved in your very heart of hearts, your spirit, your mind, your body, your soul, to say, I want to learn of your ways, Jesus. I want to be your disciple. That's what he's saying here. I say to you who hear. So, you make the choice if you want to be one that wants to hear. Hello? Hey, hello? Anybody listening? So that's up to you. That's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. Because he's saying, I say to you who hear. You're making the choice if you want to hear. You may say, no, I don't want to hear. And that's up to you. God loves you enough to allow you and give you the freedom to make that choice. I'm serious. He does. But he loves you enough to say, I say to you who hear. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Now we're going to talk about that one next week. Because praying for those who spitefully use you. Do you know what? There's a real neat trick that's all you got to do to actually obey that. Really neat. Just do it. Just pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for somebody who does it. Do you know what the remedy for being a conceited, thankless person that actually does more criticizing than he does any good? Do you know what there's a remedy for somebody to be again? There's a fix for being conceited and the wording I'm looking for is and critical. There's a remedy for that. If you're a critical person, there's a fix. You know what it is? Just be thankful. You can't be two things at the same time. You can't be salt water and fresh water. You just can't do it. You can't do it. So it's kind of neat. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Verse 29, and to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. what the heck is Jesus talking about here? Are you not thinking the same thing I am? Like, are you serious? Okay. Verse 31. And Jesus says, And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. Man, that's awesome promise. He's not only saying just to do that so that you can be different, but he's saying it, and I need you to hear this. God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him and follow him and obey him and do the things that he says to do. Your reward will be great. Don't be this spiritually noble doofus. And I meant to say that says, well, I want to do this stuff, but I don't want anybody to see it. I don't want anybody to know about it. And I just, you know, I'm just doing it. And, you know, it's all about Jesus. And No, he's saying do things to be seen by God for the glory of God, not for your glory. Do things in front of everybody and say, you know, carry the bag an extra mile right in front of everybody. So that people can say, and then when they say, who gave you authority to do that? Why are you doing this? Because Jesus told me to, and that's why. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Man, you're just really preaching it today, brother. Gosh, yeah. this is really fun. I know, huh? Where did I leave off? I don't know, because I wanted to finish this last passage because it's really great. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Man, can't get any better than that, huh, Brother Mike? That doesn't get any better than that. For he is, this is the one that's going to throw you off a little bit. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Did you guys see how it's all tied back into around? You see how it all came right back where we started? We live in a culture and in a society that has a whole lot of Ninevehs in it. And God is wanting to be kind. God is desiring to be kind and merciful. And who is he going to use? Us. That's why he says, therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. In Matthew, he says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. So having the heart of God, putting people as the most prioritized principle in your life is the perfect heart of God. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. I don't know where to take it any farther than that. But Father God, we just thank you that you are a good God. We don't just say that tongue in cheek. I just even thank you that, you know, your mercy to a thankless heart was one that was shown to me. Your mercy and your grace and your kindness and your goodness was one that was shown to me when I didn't deserve it a lick, and I still don't deserve it. But it's you, God, that is merciful and kind, and you've called me, you've called each and every one of us to be your hands, your feet, to be your heart that beats with mercy and compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you, God, that you have called us to be salt and light. And we just right now, I'm just going to tie it in and say, Lord, I confess to you that sometimes my principles and my convictions haven't aligned with your kingdom directives. And I repent of that. And I ask you, Father God, to align my convictions, even my very personal ones, with your very spoken word and your very directive for kingdom life, that it may impact and it may draw others into your kingdom, because that's your heart. Your heart is for those that are lost, those that are wandering, those that are in darkness, those that are decaying. That's why you've called us for this very precise moment to be salt and light. And we give you glory ahead of time for the opportunity even this week to praise your name, bring glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
This week I was taken back to a time and a place where, remember that time when things were all fresh and new, when you were just discovering God and who he was and who he could be? There was a lot of hope. And you know, we get going through our days and everything sometimes begins to be the same over and over. And we go, this is just what I do. I live this Christian life and I do these things. And